You are listening to the Cameron Phillips Podcast, episode 22. Hi, I'm Cameron Phillips. I'm a travel journalist, media entrepreneur, and mindset coach, and welcome to the Cameron Phillips Podcast. Join me for weekly discussions about how to live an amazing life through manifestation, business, and energy work. From exploring the unconventional, diving into the metaphysical, to learning tools to improve your mind along the way, this podcast is packed full of value for every listener to uplevel their experience of life. Today's episode is brought to you by my free training, The 12 Steps to Influencer Abundance. If you are looking to make money through social media, being a content creator, and attract opportunities into your life to travel, to work with amazing brands, and to make extra money, I would definitely encourage you to go and sign up for my free video training. I broke down the 12 most important steps to growing an audience, pitching brands, and treating your business like a real business, leading to more money and more fulfillment from being an online content creator. I put together an amazing program that has so much value. I think that you all could benefit from it today. I think everyone should be taking this program. But for those of you who aren't quite ready to sign up yet, I did make this free training. It's a 25-minute video series. Go check it out. The link is in the description of this podcast, or you can head to CameronPhillips.net/influencerabundance. Again, that's CameronPhillips.net/influencerabundance. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of the Cameron Phillips Podcast. I'm so happy to have you here with me today for another episode. We're going to dive into some amazing stuff today. Amazing, amazing stuff. This is also my first ever video episode where I'm also recording it to post on my YouTube channel. I decided to post it because I want to start sharing the podcast on YouTube as well, but I thought that it might be kind of weird to share it without having any kind of video component, even though I know most people won't actually watch the video when they listen. In the case of myself, I'll put a podcast on and then just listen to the audio and not actually watch them sitting there and talking, but I feel like it's still better than just having like a title screen and then the audio just playing in the background. So that is what is happening today. And I'm coming to you live from my bedroom. I've always had a kind of a funny... Wait, I'm just trying to move this microphone to a better place. Here we go. I've always had a funny feeling about filming in bedrooms because I think that was so cliche YouTuber back in 2010, 12, 14. And now there's just such a high level of professionalism online. But you know what? We're keeping it real. We're in quarantine. My house is now a multi-purpose space. It's the office and living quarters for two people, and we're both trying to make sure that we have good workspaces, separation of space, and also when one person is in here talking to a camera and a microphone, it definitely is not necessarily a conducive environment to focusing in the rest of the apartment. So that is why we're in the bedroom, which is probably going to be my makeshift studio for the next couple weeks. Now, note on that, actually, for those of you watching the video, not actually just listening to the audio of this, my apartment has a great office space that I built. And when I was looking for apartments when I moved to Canada last summer, I wanted to have somewhere specifically that had a den so I could make a home office environment out of it. And I did that, and I like it, but I don't love it. And I'll tell you why, because it has no window. It has no view to the outside world, and it just feels a little dark and a little stuffy. And on top of that, part of me setting that up was that I wanted to have a space that could always be like a film set in a way, or like a studio where I could just flip on the camera, press record on the podcast, and get to work without having to set things up, take it down. And the thing is, that room does not work for video, because there's no direct light source being from outside, from natural light, and there is no good place to put my softboxes because it's like this narrow little opening, and yeah, it's kind of weird. So you know what? I even had this crazy thought of switching my office into the bedroom and making the den the actual bedroom, but that's just not going to happen in this space. What we're going to work for is a future space with a better home office set up with some natural light to film in. Anyways, I hope everyone's doing well. It is now the second week of April, and we are in the heat of things. I feel like March was the slowest month on recent memory for most people on this earth, and now it feels like April is flying by. And I hate to say it, I rebel against this word so much, but I do feel like we're finding the new normal. I think I talked about in the last episode how I don't like that phrase very much, but Yeah, I guess it's kind of fitting, you know? I do feel like I found a lot more inner peace with the situation and inner peace with this new way of life. And it's funny because I've, you know, worked for myself for several years. I've worked from home environments for a long time, and I'm okay with that. I know what works and what doesn't work for me, but I also got to a point after the winter ended here where I was just so sick of being in this apartment. So it kind of came at an interesting time to then all of a sudden be cooped up again and not even be able to go out to restaurants or coffee shops to get work done. So I think I had to kind of work my way around those thoughts that I was having of feeling limited and closed off and find that peace with it. And once I did, I feel like it has been into a new flow state. I feel like I've been very productive recently. And I think that kind of fuels just good feelings overall, which is a great segue right into the topic of today's episode, which is all about your frequency. What is your frequency and how do you raise it? In today's episode, I'm going to dive into that and share with you my thoughts and my teachings and everything that I've learned about your frequency as a human, how to raise it, and what that actually looks like in real life. So we hear all this talk of vibrational frequency, especially in the world of like law of attraction and manifestation and even kind of happiness and abundance. What does it mean though? What do you mean vibrational frequency? That sounds a little absurd, but it's really not that absurd. When you think about the smallest pieces that we know of in the entire universe, the atom and then the components that make up the atom, everything is in this vibrational state. And that is just the scientific, like, to the root of everything. Everything has some kind of energy that it gives off. And we're composed, obviously, of atoms that make elements that make the different parts of our body through, you know, proteins and cells and everything else, which manifests as us as human beings and as like this room I'm sitting in right now and the world that we see outside. It all boils back down to these teeny tiny little particles that make up the fabric of existence. Now, without getting too deep and too philosophical into this, I have been watching programs recently on the concept of matter and the concept of atoms and everything that we thought we knew about them that we're learning more and more and more about. But all that we need to really cover for today's episode is the fact that everything is in a vibrational state. Now, obviously, you don't feel it, you don't notice it. It doesn't impact your life, and in many cases, it goes against everything that we experience on a day-to-day basis. Like when you look at the wall, if I were to knock on it right now, if I could reach it, it would be a hard surface. This notebook, it's a hard surface, right? This is a tangible material object, as is my hair and my face and the clothing I'm wearing and the bed I'm sitting on and everything. That is besides the point. They don't need to be physically vibrate. You don't need to be able to see it vibrating to understand that it's made up of molecules that at their essence give off a frequency. And that's the concept behind the whole universe. And that's the concept behind really getting onto another level in life and really like up-leveling your energy that you give off. When I say the energy you give off, taking that concept of vibration and bringing it into ourselves, we all give off energy. And that can manifest as simply as imagine yourself walking down a street. It's golden hour. It's sunny. Maybe you just got a promotion. You're feeling really good. You're hanging out with your friends tonight and you just feel on top of the world. You know that feeling when you're just walking or you're sitting inside or wherever and you just feel like amazing. You feel like everything is working out for you. You feel like high on life, literally, and you just feel great. That is a high vibrational state versus when you're sitting inside, maybe it's cold, dark, and raining outside, you're not feeling great about things, you're worried, you're stressed, you're anxious, maybe you're sad, you're not feeling good about life, and you're like, why am I continually handed situations that are hurting me or being difficult to me or making it hard for me to thrive on this earth? When you sit there and you feel that heaviness in your body, that is a low vibrational frequency. And there's a whole scale that ranges from the bottom all the way up to the top with like shame and guilt and fear being at the lowest and then love, joy, light, enlightenment, like those kinds of things being at the high end of the spectrum. And I've actually seen scales that have the different wavelengths associated with these vibrations that the human body can produce and how that puts you into the space of the universe. Does this make sense? I feel like it's a deep concept that I understand and have been exposed to so much, But one of the things I find fascinating is that a lot of times when you think, you know, you see something so much and it's so obvious to you and it's so easy and straightforward, but to someone else, it could be, you know, essentially nonsense. They've never heard this before. They have no concept of it. And that could be as something as simple as, like, for me, sitting down and editing a YouTube video and posting it is one of the simplest things. So roughly cut together a simple video and upload it. It's so easy. I feel like in my mind, everyone knows how to do that. But the fact is, a lot of people don't know how to string together a video and upload it on YouTube and, like, tell a story through the video medium. People don't know how to edit. People don't know how YouTube works. That's just the reality. And in my mind, everyone knows. It's so simple because I, you know, mastered it a while ago and I'm trying to be even better at it. But the core basics, you know, it's simple. This is the same thing when it comes to this concept of vibration and energy. To me at this point, it is just an understood law that this is how things work and this is how the world works. But to those of you listening or watching, you might not be on that level yet. So I'm going to break it down again in the most simple way that I can. And I would definitely encourage you to go and do some outside research if you're really into this and really kind of getting into this information. One of the best videos I could recommend is by Christy Marie Sheldon. And I think if you just search on YouTube, raise your frequency and change your life, you'll find this video. It's an incredible talk that shows you the scale I was just talking about, of how the different vibrations that your body emits translates to different realities that you experience in your life, which is the more scientific aspect of manifestation and making everything you want in your life appear before your eyes effortlessly and with ease. And that is how we're all trying to live, right? With effortlessness and ease. I did an episode talking about creating your life from a place of ease, and I'm so passionate about that. I think that is so good. I think it's so good. I think that when we put labels on things that are going to be difficult, when we throw that word around, it creates a lot of barriers for us and creates a lot of limiting beliefs. So I really do feel passionately about creating a life from a place of ease. And that is what we're trying to do by raising our frequency. So that's the first part. What is your vibrational frequency? And now the second part is, how do you raise it? The core of this episode is that I put together 5 things that I do in my personal life to raise my frequency, sometimes on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, or even several times a day. These are various activities. Some of them are pretty obvious and straightforward. Some of them are a little more complex, and I want to share them with you because this is a real look into my day-to-day life and activities that I do, especially now during this time of global anxiety, uncertainty, feeling cooped up, all these things that I've really been implementing on an even higher level to really make sure I'm feeling great, I'm showing up the best I possibly can, and really, yeah, showing up the best I possibly can by raising my frequency. So there is no one-size-fits-all solution to raising your frequency or to feeling better about your life. I'm someone who's dealt with a lot of anxiety and really easily prone to stress and a lot of things in my life that come from my own psychology and my environment and whatever else you want to put on that. I haven't fully gotten to the root of that. I don't want to say it's fully the brain. I feel like there's other situations in the way I process thoughts that impact that. And it's taken me many years to come to terms with that and realize it and be able to see it and, like, step around it to find a new path towards more peace, more understanding, and not letting my irrational thoughts control my life. Because that is really what the core of anxiety is. It's a repetition of irrational thoughts that produces worry. And when it's extended and chronic and continual, that's when the problems arrive. And that's when that can manifest in your life as physical ailments and the impact of stress on your body. And it's just very, very not good. And raising your frequency is a great way to work on different anxiety conditions. I'm not saying it's the root. I think that it's really important for you to explore the depths of yourself. And that's also going to be really key in order for you to then raise up your frequency. But I think that working with these things I'm going to mention right now is a great way to elevate yourself and get to a place where it might feel more light and more playful and it'll be easier for you to actually digest the anxiety and really try to get to the root of what is causing it. So all these things in my life have led me down this path, from discovering the law of attraction many, many years ago to discovering coaching and going down this world. All these things have led me to the understanding of frequencies and the body and the universe and connecting all three to really create the life that you most want to create. And I am really grateful that I've learned these things, because I think it's already opened so many doors in my life, but I also feel like there are so many more doors that will be opened and so much opportunity that can be created because I'm still so young and I'm experiencing all of this magic of the universe and ways that you can, I hate to say the hack your life, but really create exactly what you're intending to in this world. So let's dive into number one of my first tips that I personally use to raise our frequency. And the first one is probably the easiest, the most attainable, and most of you generally know what it is and how to do it, and it is exercise. I love to exercise. It's no secret that it's good for us physically, emotionally, for our health, our mental health, our physical health. It's obviously everyone talks about it. Doctors talk about it. So much research has been done on it to show the physical benefits for the body. But I want to talk a little bit about how that can affect your frequency and how that can affect your state of mind. So with a lot of course, the research that has been done on exercising in the human body, when you do participate in moderate activity, you know, moderate level of physical activity, like playing a sport or going for a jog or swimming or things like that, your body releases different chemicals that do make you feel good from a chemical standpoint internally. And the whole point, the whole goal of raising your frequency is to feel good. Because when you feel good, your frequency raises, and that results in you feeling good even more. And that is, isn't that what we're all trying to achieve? Happiness, peace, and just feeling good every day in our life? You know, because what good is $1 million if you don't feel good about it? And what good is finding your dream partner if you don't feel good about it? You know, it's curating this own internal feel good about your life, and that is the essence of raising our vibration. And when we exercise, it's a great way to almost slip into a meditative state, which I'm personally a huge fan of because it's a key into that world that so many people who think they're against meditation or don't want to actually take those steps can get access to and slip into that state without really knowing it. When we exercise, we oxygenate our blood and our body and our muscles, and that changes chemistry, and that results in releasing of hormones and chemicals that make us feel very, very good. I also feel like personally, I'm a runner. I love to run. I try and run 3 to 4 times a week, anywhere from 4 to 6 miles, sometimes even longer. And I really do feel like I get into a meditative state from the breathing, from the raised heart rate. And I also feel like I kind of work through everything when I go for a run. If I'm feeling worked up about something, if I'm feeling stressed, if I'm feeling uncomfortable, it all kind of comes up when I go for a run. And the beauty of it coming up is that it can be released, which is kind of the concept of therapy. When you bring the thoughts up, you can see them for what they are and let them go. That doesn't always happen, but it definitely happens sometimes. And it definitely allows me to almost get a fresh perspective on some of the issues that come up in my life and then be able to move forward from there. So I love running. I love exercise. And I think it's by getting out there and doing that and then coming back and feeling really good, feeling accomplished, it's really, really powerful for feeling good and raising that frequency. A lot of people also exercise for the lone sake of their body and for changing that, I guess, self-image of themselves to try and have, you know, abs or lose weight or lose body fat or try and look better to feel better. And I'm going to give a challenge to all of you because, I mean, I've, of course, been here. We've all been here. Is to go and exercise without the direct correlation of doing it to look better, to then feel better about yourself. Go for a run, go exercise, and do it just for you. Not for how your body is going to look after doing it continually, not for this self-image, but do it just to feel good internally, not from the external validation of having a nicer body or being or losing weight or like so on and so forth. Really go and try and just live in that moment for yourself and just embody that and really just feel good about what you're doing and do it for yourself. Because I think that when we can realize that we're really honoring ourselves by getting out there and doing the work rather than doing it for this external source of pleasure, as in I look better, people are gonna think I look better, bring it back to yourself. And especially when it comes to this raising frequency aspect, just feel good about it for yourself. Don't get back from the exercise and be like, oh, like I still don't see any progress. I don't see any results. Like I'm gaining muscle. I'm not losing fat. Put that out of the equation for this activity and try to just feel good and feel accomplished. Because like I said, the essence is to feel good. Number two, nature. I love nature. I think nature is one of the most powerful ways to shift your reality and shift your frequency, because nature carries so much energy with it, especially things like the ocean and mountains. But even if those are not options where you live, if you're inner city or in the middle of the country, in the plains, prairies, wherever, any kind of nature carries so much energy with it and can clear out a lot of the stuff that we hold on to and carry and get kind of cooped up with when we live and work in offices or live at home or things like that. When we can get outside and be in the trees, be in the grass, be on a trail, be on a path, be outside in the fresh air, it is one of the easiest and least effort ways to infuse new energy into your life. When we can look at the natural world and look at a tree and admire the beauty of that and see flowers and appreciate them for what they are, it is such a great way to shift into a new positive light. And I find it so powerful in my own life. And taking it back to the running example, I run outside preferably. In the winter, I'll do treadmills sometimes, or maybe if it's late at night or raining or whatever, but I try to get outside whenever I can because I feel like I'm almost getting a double hit of this amazing feeling by exercising, but also being able to get outside. And for me, I go near a lake that I live by, and there's trees and there's grass, and it's just very calming, but also energizing and refreshing. You know, there's just this energy that I gain and an energy that I lose. I get rid of the stuff that I don't want to carry on with me anymore, and I can adopt some of this new, refreshed, enhanced positivity. And it makes me feel so good. And the simplest way to do it is just to get outside, go for a walk, look at the trees, look at the grass, and just take it all in. Take a moment to connect with that in whatever that looks like for you. You know, that could be really deep for some people. Some people could be out in the forest meditating and really trying to feel the energy of the trees and really go off. But if it's as simple as you going for a walk around your block, that could be incredibly powerful for a lot of people. And I think it's really, really important, especially at times like these, when it is safe to do so, to get outside and we can still practice everything that we're being told to do in terms of distancing and all that. It is a great way to refresh the spirits, refresh the body, and refresh the energy field that we're carrying with us. So nature, super, super, super easy. Number three is meditation. Now, this is where I might start to lose a few of you, because I know inevitably there's a few people out there who are not into meditation or who have already judged it and decided that it's not for them. I think this is super interesting because a lot of people will say that and they haven't even have tried meditation, which I would definitely encourage you to try meditation before you cast a judgment on it or say that you're too busy for it or too frantic for it or you can't think clearly enough for it. People, I've heard all kinds of excuses. And one of the best things, which is, I think, this is definitely not my quote or my saying, but I think a common thing that goes around is people who say they're too busy for meditation are the ones who need it the most. And I think that is so good. That is such a good phrase. Wow. Meditation for me is really, really powerful, and I've had a storied history with meditation. It started in high school when I first learned about it and the powerful benefits of calming the mind, and I was going through a really stressful time in my life where I just felt continually overwhelmed and anxious by everything going on, and I found meditation as a way to quiet my mind and find peace and release a lot of that stress and anxiety. And it really led to so much positivity in my life. And in a future episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the craziest spiritual experiences that I have personally had. And I'm going to mention some things from my meditation journey in that, which I'm super excited to share with you in the coming weeks. But meditation in its simplest and purest form is about quieting the mind and detaching from your thoughts. That is the essence of meditation, quieting the mind, and that is the simplest thing you can do to get on the track of meditation and start that journey. I want to put together a program or at least a free guide on my approach to meditation and ways that I've learned to help you approach meditation from a new standpoint if maybe you seem like it's, if you think it's not for you or you think it might be difficult, and show you that you can create a meditative experience from a place of ease, and there can be a style of meditation that works for everybody and how much it can greatly benefit your life. So that is a plan of mine in the future. But for now, I'll tell you that one of the easiest ways you can approach this is by sitting down and just breathing. Close your eyes and just focus on your breath. One deep breath in, watch the breath come in, and then watch it go out. In and out, and just focus on that breath. That is one of the easiest ways that you can sit down for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, or even just 1 minute, and find a moment of peace and a moment of release by just focusing on your breath. And as you get more into it, this can evolve into deeper levels of meditation where you really start to work to let go of the thoughts. And the real key and the essence, which is, you know, can be a little more challenging to achieve, is to learn how to just not associate with your thoughts and see your thoughts as separate from yourself. And that sounds a little like esoteric, but you can get there and it can be really, really beautiful. And then once you go that deep and get that deep, you can start to send and program new messages into your subconscious and new places that you want to vibrate from. So let's say you are really trying to raise that frequency and you're really trying to become more spiritual, become more peaceful, find more of that inner stability and that inner peace. You can like meditate on a word like love and just feel that energy throughout your body and like feel different elevated emotions. I think the way Joe Dispenza likes to describe it is feel these beautiful feelings flow into your body and feel that state and really let it resonate with you. And I've mentioned this in the past, but this is really the key to manifestation is when you can feel the feelings of what you're trying to achieve and then sit with that in meditation and let it become one with you. You know, a lot of people want money. A lot of people want to manifest money. Well, people really want the feeling that they're going to get from when they have money or when they're able to buy things that they want with money. What if we figured out what those feelings we're really looking for are and bring it back into our meditations and feel that energy, feel that frequency, and just let it embody your whole being and then operate your life from a place like that. That is the key of once you get deeper into the practice. But the best way that I like to describe it for those of you just looking to get started is just sit down, take a moment, and focus on the breath. In and out, let everything go, and try to just find that stillness. And if you do that for 1 minute and you still feel frantic and you still feel wired and you feel like it's not working for you, that is okay. All I'm asking is that you try it again the next day or in a few days and slowly work at this. You know, I think that is one of the easiest ways that I learned about it and how I really started to incorporate that into my life and see positive benefits from it, which have been, you know, massive, huge. So the fourth thing that I do to raise my frequency is yoga. And another thing I've talked about recently, but not fully in depth, so we're going to go into it today. I have had a history with yoga where I first started doing it in 2014, 2015, and then did it on and off. And I actually have a really, really great interview in my podcast with my friend Anna, who is actually doing live yoga classes right now during this quarantine season. I think every Tuesday on Instagram. You can find her link in the show notes or on my own Instagram. She does great classes. And also the interview we had was amazing and really opened my eyes to yoga in a new way. She went to India and trained to be a yoga instructor and did a very traditional practice. And she shared so much wisdom and good information here on this podcast. So I definitely encourage you to go and listen to that episode. I'll throw that link in the show notes. But yoga is so much more than just an exercise, which I think I definitely thought that's all it was for a while. And I feel like a lot of people also still believe that. Yoga is beyond just what you're physically doing to your body. The postures all act in a way that work with your energy field and work with your soul on a deeper level. And especially when you really take the time to settle into the postures and really do the breath work and the breathing and really just give into the practice and take away from it what you want. I think there's so much power in yoga that is far beyond just the workout. And that's the stuff that has really made a difference in my life recently. I have been doing at-home workouts. I have been running, like I've mentioned, and I've been keeping up my yoga practice. And on top of the yoga for flexibility and the yoga for, you know, ab work and core work and even arms and shoulders, the best and biggest benefit that I have received from yoga is this beautiful sense of inner peace and calm every time I finish a practice. It is profound. It is more than I ever remember in my previous experiences with yoga in 2014 and 2015 and even 2016. Nowadays, when I sit down for a 30-minute yoga flow or a 45-minute yoga flow, by the end, when we reach Savasana, which is where you lie on your back and just let everything go and let the practice soak in, I feel this deep inner resonance and this peace and almost this almost tangible vibration. If we're talking about raising your vibration, I just feel really, really good, but it's a different type of good. It's different than when I meditate. It's different than when I exercise, and it's different than when I go outside. It is a state of being where I feel like I have truly altered something in the way my body's energy field is. I feel open, I feel expanded, and I feel resonant, and that is beautiful. And with yoga, it can go a lot deeper than just the asanas or the physical practice of yoga. I have also recently been learning about this type of yoga called Kundalini yoga, which is a lot more spiritual. And I actually learned about this, and this is a crazy story, from a woman I met on an airplane in Detroit in 2018, flying to Salt Lake City. And her name was Julie, Yoga Jules on Instagram. And she will be a future guest in this podcast. And I also do want to go and do a session with her in Salt Lake City or go on one of her retreats. That will be the subject of future media on this podcast or on other media ventures. But she and I talked for 2 or 3 hours about Kundalini yoga and how it works by a much greater field of energy in a much deeper place that works with this source of energy that sits at the base of the spine. It's called the Kundalini energy. And when you can awaken it through these different practices of the physicality and the breath work and the chanting and everything else that has to do with Kundalini yoga, you can allow the energy to work its way up the spine, and it can release trauma, it can heal, and it can really just bring a whole new energy and light to your life. And I am really, really curious to have an experience in the Kundalini world. So once quarantine is over, I think I'm going to try and do a practice in Toronto and find a practitioner. So if any of you listening are from Toronto and have any recommendations, please send me that link either via email or through my Instagram, both of which are in the show notes. And I'm really interested in trying that because I think that there is a much deeper and more spiritual level that you can get to through Kundalini yoga than with traditional flow yoga practice. So that is my next step in yoga. And I think that there'll be a lot of amazing information to report back to you guys on once I learn this and take it to the next level. So yeah, but going back to just really like approachable yoga, if you just go on YouTube and search yoga flow or even yoga for anxiety or yoga for peace and calm, yoga for workout, like whatever, there's so much free, amazing content online, on the internet, on YouTube that you can follow along with, anywhere from beginner to advanced. You know, don't push yourself, serve your body. That's what they always say, you know, listen to your body and do what it needs. And I think that everyone should do more yoga, and I think everyone should experience this because it is really one of the easiest ways to really, really feel good. And I think I've said that about everything. All of this is really, really easy. All it takes is time. All it takes is you sitting down and deciding to do one of these activities to feel good. So let's move on to number 5, the fifth thing I'm going to mention today, and that is journaling, and specifically gratitude journaling. So I have never really been a journaler. I've never really had a diary. I've never really written down things besides, you know, things for school or business things or work or things that I have to. I've never really been a writer for my own personal life in terms of, you know, my feelings and my emotions and whatnot. And then last year, I learned about how powerful it can be to sit down and just write about how you're feeling and get it out of your brain and onto paper. And this is a few different things. Number one, it's a totally different experience when you get the thoughts out of your brain and onto paper. It provides more of a release, but it also lets you look at your thoughts and see them in a new way. And I never understood how powerful this could be until I started doing it. And if you, let's say morning pages for an example, like when you wake up in the morning and if you're already off to an anxious start, if you're frantic, if you feel like you're behind, have a lot to do, a million hoops to jump through to get your day started, sit down and just write a few pages of just stream of consciousness. Just put it all out there. And by the act of doing that, in a way, it's like you take that energy that's bottling up in your thoughts and your brain and you put it down onto paper and you release it and you get it out. And even sometimes when you get it out, you can look back at it and see, okay, there's all that mess and now I'm in a new state and I'm moving forward. And that is so stress relieving, calming, purging. It's a beautiful feeling to just like let it out. If you're really upset about something, write about it. It's almost like you're talking about it to someone, but the act of actually writing it down is so much more than if you were to just sit there and think about it. You're actually going to see progress and you're actually going to see a change by getting it out of your head. Whether you're looking for a solution or just for release, getting it out of your head and onto paper is going to make a huge difference. And the way that I take that a step further, it's like you do that and you clear everything out, but then how you actually then work to raise your frequency and feel good is by gratitude journaling. Now, gratitude is, as we know, one of the most powerful emotions for raising your frequency, for feeling good, to shifting into a positive state. But sorry, I just had to restart my camera here, which stopped recording. Gratitude is one of the easiest ways to shift into a new positive state. And when we write it down, we can see all of those benefits together. So I like to write lists of things that I'm really grateful for today. And absolutely real things. Like, I'm grateful that I woke up and I'm healthy. I feel great. I'm grateful that I'm alive. I'm grateful I have a roof over my head. Like, you know, I'm grateful I have food in the fridge and resources to go buy more. Like, it could be as simple as that. But then you can hone in on specific areas. Let's say we want to talk about money. What if you wrote down, instead of continually thinking, oh my God, like, this bill's coming up, or I'm not making enough money, like, blah, 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 how am I going to pay my taxes, how am I going to pay rent? Like, if you continually think about those things, that does not lend well to anxiety, it does not lend well to manifestation, you're going to get more of what you're thinking about. But instead, if we sit down and reframe it and write down a list of all the places that we are grateful for money and all the money we do have coming to us, that's going to shift your entire energy field around money. So let's say that you feel like you're under-earning, you're not making enough money. Instead of continually harping on that, what if we sit down and change it and just write down all the money you have received, even if it's $50, $200, $130, write down all the things that you are receiving and where money is coming into your life. And when you really put the gratitude energy out there and focus on that, it's profound how different that can change your entire energy around the subject. And journaling, and gratitude journaling specifically, is one of the best ways that I have found to really set my intentions and really raise that frequency, especially if I'm going to go into a meditation after that or go into a yoga flow and really lock it in. So my daily practice, on an average day, I try to do, if I go for a run, I'll do that, or I try and do yoga if I don't go for a run. And most days I try to get in a quick little journaling, gratitude journaling session, and then a meditation. And all it takes is, I do normally do it about 10 minutes of writing and 10 minutes of meditation, which is an incredibly small time to pay for having a day where I feel better and I show up better and I'm bringing more positivity and opportunity into my life through those little practices of, you know, taking 20 minutes in the morning or doing a 45-minute yoga session at night. It leads to the rest of my day being so much better, even if I am really, really busy, that it's worth it every single time. So those are the five things I wanted to talk about in today's episode, the five things that I personally do to raise my frequency and that I think all of you could also easily do as well. We are in a time of life where, of course, there is the imminent worry and fear and anxiety that's been kind of floating around the world, but then a lot of us also are planning on ways that we can better ourselves or what we want to do as we come out of this quarantine or this global pandemic, once we move back into more of normal life and once normal life resumes. How do we want to show up differently? How do we want to be differently? Who do we want to be? What do we really want to manifest into our life? And how do we really want to be showing up on this earth? And I think that raising our frequency is a great place to start by feeling better internally, externally, and seeing how it manifests in your life. I think that it is one of the most important things that we could all be trying to do during this time, and it is so easy to get started. So I encourage you to go ahead and give any of these a try and see how it impacts your life. I know it will positively. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cameron Phillips Podcast. If you are new, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes, and I will be reading some of the reviews in upcoming episodes. So thank you so much for that. For more information on this podcast, head to CameronPhillips.net/podcast. So that is going to wrap up today's episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for watching. And if you guys would like more, I would definitely encourage you to go and sign up for my free training, The 12 Steps to Influencer Abundance. We're going to teach you how to make a business out of your content creation career. So thanks so much for watching. I'll see you guys in a new episode next week. Bye-bye.